Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Vice President Mike Pence plans to make a stop in Interior Alaska on his way to attend the Winter Olympics in South Korea early next month. A White House announcement says that Pence will travel to Alaska to review ballistic missile defense facilities on his stopover, but does not specifically mention Fort Greely or Clear Air Station. According to the Vice President's Deputy Chief of Staff, quote, the Vice President will reaffirm to the leaders of Japan and South Korea the United States' unwavering commitment to our allies and to deter and defend against the North Korean threat, unquote. Vice President Pence will attend the opening ceremonies at the Olympics on February 9th, so his visit to Alaska will likely take place in the days prior. The announcement says additional details about the trip, including U.S. delegation members who will be traveling with Pence, will be provided by the White House. The field for the 2018 Yukon Quest is set. 26 teams are on the final roster for next month's 1,000-mile sled dog race from Whitehorse to Fairbanks. That's up from 21 who started last year's quest. Last year's winner, Matt Hall of Two Rivers, and past Quest champs Hugh Neff of Togue and Alan Moore of Two Rivers headlined the field, which also includes a dozen other veterans. Another 25 mushers, including four past winners, are registered to run the shorter Quest 300 event. Both races start Saturday, February 3rd in Fairbanks. It's the 35th running of the races. Quest organizers also report that trail crews have been at work setting the race route. That includes Canadian Rangers, who are responsible for clearing, setting, and marking the 550 miles of trail between the U.S. border near Eagle and the Whitehorse finish line. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly meets tonight and will consider new air pollution control technology and a federally funded biomass heat and power project. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Assemblyman Lance Roberts says he's revised an ordinance he proposed in October that would include electrostatic precipitators to the borough's list of heating appliances and technologies that are part of the borough's air quality control program.
I've created a substitute to make it more palatable to the assembly.
Roberts says he's simplified the ordinance by removing references to a different type of heating technology that was included in the original measure, which the assembly referred to the Borough Air Pollution Control Commission for further review. The commissioners studied the technology and many thought it could help clean up the Fairbanks area's air, but they voted last month against recommending the assembly approve the ordinance over concerns the technology hasn't been approved by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency.
The technology is very promising, but it has not been tested under our conditions.
Commission Vice Chair Kathy Cahill says the majority also withheld their recommendation because of provisions in the ordinance that would allow residents who've installed ESPs on their heating appliances to burn during Stage 2 air quality alerts.
We want to make sure that it is effective before we allow people to burn under a Stage 2, which could be seen as adding to air pollution in the borough, which could be considered backsliding by EPA.
Roberts says his revised ordinance would address that concern by allowing residents to use their solid-fueled heating appliance during Stage 2 alerts only if they've installed the ESP on a heating appliance that's on the borough's list of EPA-approved heating systems.
So if you have a borough-listed stove and you put one of these ESPs on, then you can burn in Stage 2 when everyone else is having to stop burning.
Also tonight, the Assembly will consider an ordinance introduced by Borough Mayor Carl Castle to appropriate nearly $218,000 in federal grant money to buy and install a device that would be fueled by woody biomass to generate electricity and heat at the Big Dipper Ice Arena. The so-called biomass gasification combined heat and power plant would burn wood chips, pellets, and cordwood. A memo from Borough Public Works Director Daniel Sloan says the unit could save the borough some $39,000 annually in energy costs. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Western Arctic caribou herd is on the rebound. KNOM reports that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game shared results of a photo census this week showing the herd has grown to nearly 260,000 animals, up more than 50,000 over last year's estimate. The Western Arctic caribou herd is the largest in the state, ranging over 150,000 square miles from the Arctic Ocean to the Yukon River. The herd peaked in 2003 at nearly 500,000, then declined as much as 27% between 2011 and 2013. State wildlife biologist Alex Hansen in Kotzebue says a number of factors affect population, from weather and climate to predation and hunter harvest. In response to the decline, the department proposed new caribou hunting regulations adopted by the Board of Game in 2015, Since then, Hansen says there have been signs of rebound.
We've been seeing good metrics for the last few years. Good survival with adults, and then recruitment in calves is up.
Hansen says an aerial photo census conducted last summer confirmed the growth. The count was aided by new digital cameras, which replaced a World War II era film camera system that required piecing together printed photographs for the count. Hansen says the new digital system also performs better in poor weather, something demonstrated during last summer's Western Arctic herd census.
We had some challenging weather and lighting conditions as we had to work a little bit later into the evening, and that is challenging for the film camera system to pick up good images under those conditions.
The Western Arctic Caribou Herd Working Group met last month and decided it's time to consider updating the management plan. A watchdog group is working on a series of reports on Cook Inlet oil and gas infrastructure. Alaska Public Media reports that they follow several accidents last spring. Linda Jaguar is a spokeswoman for the Cook Inlet Regional Citizens Advisory Council.
Cook Inlet's arguably one of the most challenging bodies of water in North America to conduct oil recovery operations. And
last year, Hillcorp took weeks to halt a gas leak in Cook Inlet because icy conditions hindered repairs. To help prevent future leaks, the council is working with government agencies and oil companies to inventory all the pipelines in the inlet. Some of Cook Inlet's oil infrastructure has been around since the 1960s. Jaguar says that's why compiling the report is a challenge.
There's been a lot of operators there. There wasn't always the record keeping that we are looking for and expecting now, done in the early years. So it's a lot of information. There's a lot of gaps in that information.
Jaguar says the report aims to pin down where all the pipelines are, how much they carry, and if they've leaked before. The council is investigating close to 90 spills in the Cook Inlet region between 2001 and 2017. A separate report will address the complicated web of government agencies that oversee oil and gas operations in the inlet. I'm Dan Bross.